Blog Talk Radio.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. But how did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the president ought to fix it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hard to sneak in up. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time I've better things to do. Criminal record says I'm broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Life's better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me.
Welcome to Mystical Awakenings Radio. We have a whole new night for you tonight, and I'm really excited. Tonight is our first time to bring in True Paranormal with myself, Dr. Roos, and Jonathan Lento. Hey, John. Are you
there?
Hey,
how's it going?
It's going awesome. How's it going with you? You just flew in from work.
Yeah, but it was a good day. It was nice and relaxing. It was a good lead up to this. It wasn't stressful at all, which is unimaginable for a Friday, but good day. So I have no complaints.
Wonderful. No complaints is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally excited about this stuff.
Yeah. A show with nothing but true paranormal. So we can talk about anything we want, you know. Paranormal is pretty wide.
That excites me because I did a show for years and I got out of it. And I was very happy to see today that when I posted our banner, that one of my friends who used to be a faithful listener came back and said, "Oh, you're doing it again." And I said, yep, sure am. And so it was nice to see that. So I'm hoping he's listening.
Wonderful. Well, I think that, you know, as time goes on, we'll grow and grow and more people will listen because it's kind of a, you know, we're both pretty fun people. We both have quite a background in the paranormal. And speaking of that, you know, I know that you have many years into it. You're also an artist and a collector of unique haunted items. And that I love. I even love some of your haunted items. But
I don't know if it's a collection or an obsession. I truly think it's an obsession.
I think it has become.
I have a sickness. Yeah, I think I have a sickness. I was on eBay until 3 a.m. last night. Sure.
Oh, geez.
Well, where do you want me to start? You want me to start with my background in the paranormal and lead into it? Yeah, let's just do that. We have a forum.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I am, 2015 will be my 20th year in the paranormal. So I'm celebrating two decades now. I started, I actually started before that, but I wasn't too serious. That was back in the day when I was just a child, 16, but still a child. And, you know, I'd go hang out at the cemeteries, and it actually started as a place for me to do my homework, have some solidarity away from my siblings and my parents, and be able to get homework done and concentrate and meditate. And I started seeing things, and I started hearing things and acknowledging things, and I started bringing tape recorders, and I started diving into the paranormal, going to my local library and exhausting their books, and then rereading and educating myself. And the home I grew up in was also haunted, and that had stuck with me. And, you know, as a child, when you're plagued with something like that, it almost puts a ping into you that you can never get rid of. When you experience things as a child, it touches you and it stays with you. And, you know, for years, my parents dismissed everything that happened. And that's really hard as a child to have your parents not believe you. And
right.
I knew that there was something more. So in my teenage years, when I started to educate myself and started finding books and documentaries and things that the Warrens put out and stuff like that, it started to really influence me. And made me realize I wasn't some crackpot kid out there, that in fact, the stuff that happened in our home was true. And I no longer needed to fear it, because for a long time I was very fear-based in the paranormal. And it took a long time to get over that hump. And once I did, it opened up a world that was just, and still is, very exciting to me, because nothing ever stays the same. Yeah, our investigations can be mundane and they can be boring. And I think that's one thing people don't realize, because people get so into the hype of the paranormal. But the nice thing is that I got into that hype before that hype was out there. You know, I developed my own hype. It wasn't, oh, you know, I watched an episode of Ghost Adventures or Taps and now I want to do this. I had already been doing it for a number of years. And it was just, at the time, it was nice to see those shows come on, because it was nice to see different ways of investigating. But it made me appreciate more that I wasn't a fly-by-night pop-up in the middle of a season group that printed a T-shirt and said, "I'm off and running, and this is me." You know, I had the years already behind me as a younger man to be able to do that. And it was nice. I was very fortunate, because early on I met people like Stacey Jones and John Zapp and
we seem to be having some sound trouble. Can everybody hear us out there? John, I can no longer hear you.
Oh.
Are you there?
Here.
Okay, you really faded out. I don't know what happened. Oh, well, let's see. John, you may have to hang up and call back in. Well, darn, I was hoping he'd get through that story because it's a pretty interesting one. But while we're waiting for him to call back in or figure something out, I'll go ahead and talk about myself a little bit. I kind of grew up in the paranormal. I've been, you know, my mother was a medium. It goes way back in my family. So, John, are you back on?
I'm back on. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, good. I have no idea what happened there. See, that's what happens.
I don't
start talking about the paranormal, and sometimes they like to interject.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you're not kidding. We have certainly found that out. That happens often. Often.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie and I are talking about paranormal things. So I was kind of playing with buttons here and talking about myself, but now we'll get back to you. So go ahead and continue your story.
I was just saying how fortunate I was to be able to meet the people that I have. And it's continued way up until now. I mean, just this past year alone, the amount of people that have come into my life for whatever reason has been phenomenal. And I can do nothing but thank the universe for the people that I've encountered and have become very close to. You know, quite different from a year ago in my life, I'll tell you that much. And, you know, I had gotten away from the paranormal for a while in the mainstream. I never got away from it, but I stopped posting online when I was doing ghost hunts. I stopped posting about the individual cases because I got to a point where I felt that as an adult, going in and helping these people, I didn't need to be putting out there, listen, I've got a Friday night investigation, I'm going into Toledo, because then people started asking questions and really diving into personal stuff with these people, and it just didn't feel right. So I kind of got into a hermit state, and then in the last 2 years, I've had a few people that have poked the sleeping proverbial bear and brought me back out into the community and talking again, so... this time I just approach things differently, and it's been nice to be able to say, okay, I'm an adult now. This is the way I handle my cases, bring them up, but I'll be very generic on things and approach them in a different manner. So that's kind of where my paranormal career has gone. I mean, I wrote for a while for a couple different magazines, and I was on the lecturing tour for a while, which I really am looking to get back into. I'm sure this next year I'm going to be back out there again. So hopefully, knock on wood.
Yeah,
and,
I think you are.
And here's a start right here with you. So.
Yeah, you've got it. You're back in it. And,
yep.
You know, you and I have talked about the fact that, you know, if you're in the paranormal and it's one of your passions, you can't get away from that.
No, and
there's
I can't
no
tell you how many times I've said,
walking
you know,
away.
I'm done. I'm gonna go away. I just, you know, at times it gets a little mundane to be called the ghost guy and all that. And then every time you're in the public and somebody stops you, oh, can you tell me about this? You know, for a long time I was just thinking to myself, oh God, again. But then I started thinking, well, these people have true curiosity because they don't understand it. What kind of message am I sending by saying, you know what, I don't want to talk about this? That's not the right way to do it. So. I got back into sitting down with people and taking that moment to take a deep breath and go, okay, I've repeated this story 20 million times, but you know what? It's because they don't know.
Right.
So that's,
right.
You know, like I said, again, it goes with becoming an adult and growing up a little bit. And I've gotten to the point where it's here I am again, and I'm right back in it. And I've learned to appreciate it in another way. So here it is.
And you and I are so alike with the paranormal. And I learn more all the time. You know, we didn't really start talking. We've been friends on Facebook for quite a while. I don't have no idea how long. But when we started talking, it was like we're old family members. We're old friends who, you know, have come back together. But
oh yeah,
I think that's really awesome. But when it comes
to
the paranormal, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I have to thank not only you, but Debbie as well, because that was kind of the spark. The three of us kind of got a spark going, and that was it, you know.
Went to Parafest. The Three Musketeers.
Yep. Went to Parafest, and it was just kind of like, wow, okay, so we're back together again. You know,
right,
you would have never guessed that we had just met for the first time face-to-face.
No, absolutely not. We were old friends right then and there. And now here we are doing radio all together. You know, Mystical Awakenings is expanding, and Debbie and I do the Wednesday night show with, you know, more of the missing and things like that in readings. And then you and I will be doing the paranormal. So
yes.
I just think that's amazing. When it comes to when you're talking about putting the information out there, it's kind of gave me goosebumps because I didn't realize you felt that way. And I'm exactly that same way. When it comes to, I have a team called Paranormal Relief Team. And I've told people, you will never find information on our website about cases that we've investigated. Because I don't feel it's really anybody's business.
Now,
we don't talk about it. We investigate. We help people. And that's that.
Well, and that's the point I had gotten to, because for the longest time, you know, it was, hey, you know, we're going out to do this, or we're going out to do that, or got a call, you know, new case. And I stopped and thought about it one day, and I was thinking from the perspective of the family, you know, a lot of these families don't want that out there. And I'm thinking, wow, I wouldn't want somebody going, oh, hey, I'm going to Oregon, Ohio today to investigate, and, you know, seeing there's a person from Oregon, Ohio on your friends list that maybe has mentioned something here and there, you know, people can put together things very quickly, and then you've got people contacting your clients and asking them questions, and it just got to the point where I said, you know what, this is wrong, and I need to stop, and I need to just respect these people at a higher level, and if they ever say, hey, if you want to share my information, feel free to, that's when I'll talk freely about it. But
there you go.
Unless they approach it, I would never ask a client, hey, can I share your story? Because that's their story. That's their personal story.
Right.
And it's not for me to decide that that needs to be put out in the universe.
See, I love that. I love that we think the same way there. Because, you know, most of the time when people call and they say, I need help, I'm terrified. The last thing they want is to get on Facebook or on the web and see their information. Or hear, you know, see even, oh, I went to investigate this house last night, and this is what happened. Now, the teams are going, wow, isn't this cool? And the family's going, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah, and, you know, there can be backlash
to that
family, especially if they hide up, if they hold a high position. Mm-hmm. You know, I do work with a woman who's very open about the paranormal. She will talk about the building she owns, and she's the mayor of a city. But she's very open to it, and she likes to get it out there because she likes to draw a little bit of attention to her town. It's a very sleepy little burg, one of those ones that if you drove through, you'd blink and miss it. So she's different. She likes to get it out there. But when it comes to these families, especially if they have children or they're in, like I said, high-ranking positions, whether they're police officers, doctors, nurses, all whom I have clientele or lawyers, they don't want this kind of stuff out there because then people are going to question their professionalism in their job. You know, oh, my doctor thinks this house is haunted. Is he really a quack? Is he really diagnosing me properly? You know, you don't want those questions out there for the public to start questioning.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to be on every Friday night, but we'll probably do 9 to 11, like, you know, we had planned, or 8 to 10, whatever we decide to do, but we will let the public know. But we will be on Friday nights. And,
I do need to apologize for the wonky time because I had to work today, and this was just, we kind of planned this not that long ago. So I, out there for everybody that's listening or anybody that's not and is going to listen to the archive, I apologize for that.
Well, and you know what? That's all right, because tonight was all about introducing ourselves. And really, it could have waited until next week when we're really supposed to have a show. But, you know, I got a little excited. I wanted to hurry up and do it. So here we are.
Well, that's okay.
But, yeah.
It's a getting to know you show.
It is. It is. And we do have in queue on the phone, we do have a wonderful old friend who I'd like to bring in and get updated on his information on his Erie America. So we're going to bring in Corvus Nocturnum. Hey, Corvus, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hello. So good to hear your voice again.
It's good to be on your show again. Thank you for extending the invitation to your new hour.
Absolutely.
Well, it's good to hear your voice for the first time, Corvus.
My pleasure, sir.
I was going to ask if you two had met.
No, I've never had the pleasure.
Right. I know we are both at ParaFest, unless it's a different one. I don't know if you're referring to the one in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania a couple years ago.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I went to ParaFest in Michigan, and then I went to ScareFest in Kentucky this year. But I've never been to anything in PA.
Okay, so we crossed paths because I was at ScareFest the last 2 years and will be a guest speaker for next year. Well, this year, I guess you could say. But I unfortunately couldn't make it in 2014.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll see you this year.
Great.
I will be here, so.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Come look me up. Come look me up. I'll be giving a panel discussion on Erie America with my co-host and the director, Adam Kimmel from Resident Undead.
Nice. Yes, I definitely will, sir. I appreciate the invite.
Wonderful. And speaking of your Erie America, can you fill us in a little bit and tell us where you're at with that?
Well, we have been receiving a few more donations. People are starting to recover from holiday spending, so I'm really grateful for the two that did. We've got about 33 days left on the Indiegogo page. And over the holidays, I did, finally listen to everybody's advice out there, and I took 3 days off. But yesterday I went back to it, and I researched a lot of really cool locations that I want to bring onto the show for the next 2 to 3 years, depending on how far we get in how much time. Like the mansion where they filmed the original Dark Shadows, the Silence of the Lambs locations. There's the Amityville Horror House. I was able to find a really rare old bookstore that specializes in hard-to-find copies of Stephen King's works. It's actually located in King's hometown in Maine, I believe. And one of the cemeteries that was used as a set for Salem's Lot. So, we probably added a good dozen more locations up the East Coast just in the last few days from all the digging I've done into archives.
Wow. I've kind of followed this whole adventure from the beginning, and I'll tell you, it's so exciting because, like I've told Corvus many times, I don't have the time or the means to do all this traveling and see all these really awesome places. And I'm so for seeing a TV show where we can see the places. We can go there and not have to, take the time or the money or anything else and visit these really amazing locations. So the fundraiser is still going.
Yes, and when you Google search it, it's Erie America Travel Guide to the Macabre series. The other one was the original trailer that we had fundraised. Now we're actually, it cost us $6,000 just to do the trailer because of the amount of time we put into it. But for the actual first season, we're only doing $10,000 because all of the cast and crew are putting in their own time and money, vacation days, in order to cut costs back so we can do all 6 episodes.
Well, Corvus, feel free to friend me on Facebook and share that information and get that out there. I would love to help you to get that out there. So feel free to look me up tonight. I mean, I'm pretty easy to find. And I just put it out there because anybody that's listening who wants to friend me, it's Jonathan W. Lento. And it's very easy. Once you find me, it's my face surrounded by a bunch of Muppet characters. So,
yeah. Don't
you
freak
can't,
out
it,
when
it's
you
my
see.
Muppet collection from when I was a child. So.
That's really cool. I will go ahead and add you. Thank you.
Yeah, please do. And feel free to post stuff on it anytime. I want to get it out there.
I really appreciate the help, you guys. It's a real pleasure.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, that's places we're not. Yeah, and that's places that we're not able to get to. You know, I've got my own addendums that I have to do, and there's a lot of things I have on my plate this summer that I'm traveling to, so I would love to be able to see the places that you're going at the same time and kind of share the adventure with you.
Yay. Get everybody involved here. And, I've been sharing all this information for, I don't know, how long, Corvus? Year and a half or so?
Yeah, something like that. I was talking to Debbie Markham in Q, and she was saying that I definitely need to come back up to Helm, Michigan, where I first met you guys. You at the Unity Tree. But, she said, not now, it's kind of cold. And I said, well, you know, that's why we're doing... we're doing the next jaunt of the trip down south in New Orleans in the French Quarter, Voodoo Land and Queen of the Damned Dan Rice, while it's still cold up north here. So we're trying to be a little clever about it and, you know, focusing on certain parts of the country where we can afford to travel and where the temperature is going to be a little more friendly.
Yeah. Michigan is not where you want to be right now.
No,
not Ohio.
Yeah, I'm in Upper Indiana, so I really know how bad it is. I try not to leave the house too much during the winter.
I don't blame you there. So tell me, because I'm a little ignorant to the subject, tell me more about what brought this on, why you're doing it, what the motivation is behind Erie and all the good stuff. Because I really, honestly, I don't know about it. This is the first time hearing about it.
Oh, okay. Erie America started out as a book that I put out with my co-host, co-writer, Kevin Eads. He was heavy into the paranormal and old classic horror. So I was coming at it from, I like all spooky, dark things in general. And we got our heads put together, and we decided we both needed to work on it because he was teaching law at my college where I was attending in one of his classes. And we became friends. I started publishing his horror books through Dark Moon Press, a small company that I own. And I started to branch out, and I approached Schiffer Publishing, a much bigger company, about the idea because I went to the Mütter Museum. And on my way there, I passed
East. Oh, I love that place.
Yeah, I saw the Mütter, I saw East 8 Penn, someone mentioned to me in the crowd while we were taking the tour about Ned Drellin Poe Museum, which I never heard of any of these places. So I perked up, and when I got back home, as soon as I went back to class, I talked to my teacher afterward, and I'm like, hey, Kevin, you know, here's what I did over the weekend, you know, and he told me that he'd been to the Space Aliens Bar and Grill, the UFO Museum down in Nevada, I think it is. And, you know, he'd been to the Universal Monsters Cafe down in Orlando, Florida. And so we just started getting more excited and come up with more and more places until we had covered, you know, 200 spots in the United States. So when the book came out, people were starting to come up to us at, you know, conventions. And I kept meeting more and more of the paranormal community that was on television, became friends with them. And, you know, the more I talked to them, the more we all thought that, hey, this would make a great TV show, even though it's not paranormal. It definitely crosses over into that same fan base. And, you know, I hooked up with several other people in the filming industry and had to learn everything from the ground up on being a producer. And now I've partnered up with Sunset Studios out of Orlando. And they're responsible for making, you know, several motion pictures, and this is his first venture into television. So, you know, as it kept growing, that original listing of 200 places in the book has grown to over 500 locations, and like the ones that I just named off earlier, connected to, you know, Friday the 13th, Salem's Lot, Silence of the Lambs, you know, people are still giving us information. You know, if you want to join the Erie America fans and support page on Facebook, I approve everybody, and you can post pictures and links and, you know, suggestions of places you've been to, you know, restaurants, the places to shop at, to sleep at, you know, bed and breakfasts. You know, we're trying to find the most unique traveling adventure possible. And, you know, if it weren't for copyright, you know, restrictions, we would have called the show the Addams Family Travel Guide, because it conveys the idea of what we wanted to say. But, you know, it's been an amazing experience. I've already been to 6 or 7 major cities that have a lot, such as New Orleans and Salem. I've been up to the Lizzie Borden House. I've been to Hell, Michigan several times. But, you know, there's so much that I haven't seen yet that I'm still excited every day when someone sends me new information.
Well, that kind of excites me, because there's kind of a thing that I'm going with right now that I want to work on this year that would be really fun to hook up with you and talk about. And one of my small passions that's not really out there too much is I love asylums, especially Kirkbride asylums, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with what they are.
Yeah,
there's
so
few existing left, and I've made it my mission this year to get to so many that are still surviving. I actually went as far as to getting a grant writer, and I had done a proposal for Greystone Park, New Jersey. Just a quick background flight on that, getting ready to put that thing down at the tune of like $75 million. And I was trying to get grants and government loans and all this to save it, and I started getting approved, and the city wouldn't accept any of my proposals.
Your sound is getting funny, John.
Oh,
did you hear
me better?
Different with your phone?
Not at all.
It's getting funny again. I don't know what. It's kind of in and out and bouncy again.
That's definitely a passion of mine as well. We're covering a few of the Kirkbride buildings in Erie America, but I, a couple of years ago, wrote a book called Haunted Asylums that's a full-color photo book filled with places like that. So I'm very familiar with the location you're talking about.
I'm not. We really have to talk.
Yes, you do, because another thing you two have in common is art. Corvus, I'm sitting here looking at one of the paintings that I bought for Carly for Christmas that Corvus did, and it's amazing. He's a wonderful artist and an author, and he's the owner and publisher of Dark Moon Press. The last, you know, Tim Shaw, the last book that he wrote was published in Corvus. So, and how many books do you have, Corvus, that you've done yourself?
I'm in the middle of finishing 3 or 4 for this year, this spring, actually. Last count, I was at around 29, 30. I don't know for sure. I know if I finish everything I intend to by November for the spring of 2016, I'll be at 32.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Very nice. Yeah. Congratulations on that.
I've been at it for 10 years as of this May.
And he doesn't sleep.
Apparently not.
He eats when he's forced.
My roommate
friends
who nag
him.
They're like, you fell asleep at your computer at least 3 times last year. When I came home, I saw you. And I was like, okay, yeah.
So we know you sleep once in a while when you fall asleep at the computer, right?
At least 3 times, we know of.
Yeah, you two definitely need to hook up. The art thing, too, is amazing. And, Corvus, I don't know if you were listening. I know that Debbie had you. You guys were talking privately for a little while. But Jonathan collects haunted items.
Oh, good,
so,
good.
Yeah, that's kind of an eerie thing, too. Talk about Erie America.
Yeah.
you might want to do a series on his bedroom. He's got a whole slew of them.
If you ever want to do like a little curiosity shop and you know, just charge people to come in and see your collection in a building, we'll definitely feature you.
That would be awesome.
You know, kind of like
Donna,
how John Joseph has his own.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you a little bit. I heard, can you hear? Yeah, call back in. Poor guy, I don't know if it's his phone or how it connects with Blog Talk or what, but he keeps, it'll sound really good for a while and then it gets, you know, real bouncy and doesn't sound so great.
It happens once in a while.
Yeah. Debbie's in the chat room and she's saying it's his bedroom. It probably is.
Gotcha.
But he's back. Can
I'm
we
back.
Hear you now? Yay! Loud and clear.
So we've deducted that next week I will be calling from my landline.
That might be it. You know, Debbie says it's your bedroom that's causing us.
You know,
Claire,
I so many people
trying to
say that and it cracks me up. So many people say that and it cracks me up because I can be in any part of my house and talk fine. And the minute I get into my bedroom, we either get some kind of interference, static. People claim that they hear voices, and I don't hear any of it. You know, they're my kids, so I'm tuned out to it, unless they really want to get my attention, but who knows?
Right, right. Jonathan brought one of his friends, Clarence the Clown, to Parafest. And I'll tell you, Corpus, we had a blast. We really did. But this clown was freaking everybody out. And we had been carrying them around. And at one point, I mean, people were getting so freaked out, other vendors, that I took Clarence and set him and faced him towards the bathroom door that was behind us. So he wouldn't bother people. Well, about 20 minutes later, I'm thinking, oh, he's back there, you know, just being a good boy. And I get up and I walk around the table. I'm talking to somebody. And I happen to glance over because I felt this feeling. And he had turned his head and was looking right at me. So, he truly is haunted. Yeah.
Well, he has a tendency to do that, and it's interesting too. I think I'm going to start a book this year. I've been kicking around the idea of doing a lot of case studies on some of my items, and he's one of my really big interest because he tends to morph. You've seen it, Debbie, in pictures. His facial expressions change.
Yeah.
He likes to, he's not a mover like Vincent, but he does like to do the occasional move. It's interesting. So I really thought about doing a small featurette on the three clowns that I have and their backstories and what makes them so unique and the experiences that I've had and other people have had with them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would
really
love
cool.
to see you do that. Yeah, it is. But he's not, to me, he's not scary. I mean, I didn't get a bad vibe from him at all. Just, you know,
he kind of wants to
hang out with people.
Well, and it cracks me up because so many people are afraid of my clowns. And really, I was terrified of clowns until I got my first one. And he just showed up on my doorstep. Somebody just talked and talked and talked through the Paranormal Connections, got my address, and one day this huge box shows up on my doorstep, and I opened it up, and there was the handwritten note in the backstory, and I called the individual who had them, and she told me all about them, and he was very true to form on the experiences she had. I've only had a few, but they were very, very prominent ones, very intense ones, so, but he's harmless. You know, Zappas thinks I'm nuts. I'll put it out there. He tells me all the time
I heard
nuts,
that.
But oh yeah, he tells me all the time. I wish you would just get rid of those crazy things. I can't believe you sleep in the same room with them. Don't come calling me when you're having nightmares. I just laugh.
Sounds like he does a good impersonation, doesn't he?
Now, how can he say that about you when he has a museum of spooky haunted things himself?
He rationalizes it because he does not have any of it in his home. And, you know, I don't question anybody's beliefs. He just feels it's not right to have them in your home. And here I am sleeping in the same room with them. But, you know, Deb, you and I have talked about. Well, and, you know, I've talked on the air with Deb about this before. I kind of have my own ritual when I bring these items in, and they can be as mundane as this past summer I met a maintenance man that used to do maintenance at the Ohio Lunatic Asylum that's down on the Athens campus.
Okay.
And I met him because he had removed the signs that said Ohio Lunatic Asylum and replaced them with when they went to not as harsh terms where it would say mental hospital and things like that. So they changed their sign. And
right.
I purchased one of these signs from him. But even when I brought that home, I cleansed it. I set it down. And I told Deb, and you've got to picture this. People laugh all the time, but I talk to my items. I get them home. I set them in front of me, and I say, listen, you may or may not have something attached to you. If you do, I'm going to speak to the entity that's attached to it. I'm bringing you into a safe haven. You're welcome here. You're going to be loved here. You're going to be respected. Act up one time, and you're going to find yourself in the bottom of a belly of a lake or some kind of water, and you're not going to want that. So if you don't respect me, I'll find a way to get rid of you in the right way. So, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I try to connect with each individual item, as small or as large or as scary or as mundane as it is, and just say, hey, if you do in fact have an attachment, you're welcome into my home. My arms are open. Come on in. Because with all the misunderstandings out there, you know, I try to put myself in these items' shoes. If there's a spirit attached, people get scared. People throw them around. People, you know, it's basically like abusing a spirit. And to me, they're people. And, you know, I wouldn't go around abusing somebody. So I give them a safe haven, and they know they're welcome here.
That's wonderful. And Tracy would like to know, how do you distinguish what one is acting up? You know, who's being the naughty one? How do you know that?
Well, it's funny because when I bring these items into my home, I keep a very descriptive journal on any new activity or any old activity that'll kick up. And I keep times and dates, and I try to start to distinguish. Now, Vincent, my one clown, he's a standing clown doll. He does nothing more than move around the room. Once in a while, he'll just shuffle anywhere from a few inches to maybe I'll find him across the room. There's nothing else discerning with him. When I brought Clarence in, I had an experience for about 2 weeks where my bedroom door would swing open and shut. My blinds would all of a sudden be drawn or they'd fall. And this was new activity, so I logged it, and it coincided with me bringing Clarence into the home. Now it's ceased, and every once in a while, if I bring a new item in, it's almost like he becomes a jealous child, and the same types of activity will start to repeat. And when that happens, again, anybody would think I'm nuts, but I'll pull them aside from everything else, and I'll put them in front of me, or I'll set them with me on my lap, and I'll speak to them, and I'll say, hey, if you're doing this, that's fine, but don't scare anybody in my home. You're not in my home. And stop the shenanigans, okay? I don't mind the occasional door open and shut or anything like that, but if it gets to a point where you're going to make me uncomfortable or my family uncomfortable, that's going to have an issue. So, I mean, it just depends. There's different things that happen that, you know, I did have a murder.
Here goes your sound again. Yep. It's crazy. You sound great for a while, and then all of a sudden it's, Clarence, knock it off. Let the guy talk. You know, you can tell it's, yeah, he hung up and he'll call right back. But you can tell that it's a paranormal show because people in chat room are saying, oh, I don't think he's crazy. Okay. Well, if you weren't into the paranormal, you absolutely would. It's kind of cute. So do you think he's crazy, Corvus?
Oh, I don't think so. I've met so many really awesome, interesting people at the convention circuit that I have a real hard time labeling anybody as crazy. If anything, it's the normal people on the daily streets that I pass that are more in the crazy bin department than anybody that we know.
That's true. when you get into this field, there, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, I found out that I was really pretty normal. I grew up thinking I was crazy, but after getting into the paranormal and going to events and stuff, it's like, whoa, all these people like me, they're much like I am. I love it. And I always say when I go to events, you know,
we're not the crazy ones. We're the normal ones. The rest of the world is nuts.
Exactly. That's it. That's it. Because we're
open to anything. Says the man that talks to clown dolls, but but it's true.
Well, I was saying while you were off the air that you can tell it's a paranormal show because our listeners are in the room saying, "Oh, I don't think he's crazy." Of course, you know, John Kennedy has a paranormal team himself up in the UP. And has done this for many years. So he doesn't think it's crazy at all. Yeah.
Well, and it never was. When I acquired my first item, you know, I called John, and right away he was like, "You got to be careful, kid. You got to be careful. Don't start bringing this stuff into your home." But then he got that softer father side and said, "Okay, well, if you're gonna, this is what you're going to have to do." And, of course, I took his advice, you know. John's been a trusted friend of mine for years, so I took it as advice, and it seemed to have worked very well for the items I bring in. You know, there's rituals I do where they'll bask in the sunlight for a day, and I'll cleanse them, and, you know, they'll sit outside, and, you know, I might surround them with some of my crystals or do a little salt on them and say a few things or put a little holy water on them. But, you know, it just depends on the item and the feeling I get from the item.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I go very instinctual with everything.
I got the biggest kick out of John Zappas at Parafest because I've never seen him like this. And every time he would go near him with Clarence, he would be saying those bad words, you know. Get that white thing away from me.
Well, I will tell you the one thing that Zappas hates more than anything are haunted clown items. He does not like them. I don't know why, you know, and if you read his book, the one that him and Rosemary just did, the very first chapter is all about haunted clowns.
And
then when I opened up the book and read it for the first time, I stopped immediately and I'm like, "Zappas, what is this? You set me up for this." And he's just laughing his butt off. And he goes, "That was meant for you." And then every chapter I'm reading, I would call him and go, "Zappas, what is this? I've got a haunted mirror, or I've got this, or I've got that." And he's laughing, and he's like, yep.
We sold
his
book at the Unity
Tree. Go to bed and sleep well tonight.
We also have many, many of Corvus's books at the Unity Tree. So, Corvus, if people want your books and don't live near me, what's the website they would go to?
They can go to darkmoonpress.com. If anybody wants any of my work, whether it's through Dark Moon or Shifter, they can contact me through Facebook, and I'm more than happy to do a PayPal or check, you know, credit card. I've signed books for people as far away as Australia and China, so I definitely like staying in touch with my fans.
Wonderful. And I can tell you guys, anybody that's on Facebook and wants to investigate Corvus's books, if you don't live near me, hit him up on Facebook because he is great to do business with. He always responds, and he'll work with you. So feel free to hit him up. You also sell, you have do you still have the Etsy site?
Yes, I have to update it because I've made a few new designs that I haven't put on there yet. I will next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you post some of that stuff on Facebook as well, some of your jewelry.
Yeah.
And a lot of your art you post on Facebook, so people can buy their art right on Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even put it on my personal website. I need to update that for some of the ones that I've done that people really love. But, I guess I should be, you know, very, very thankful, which I am. But my artwork that I put on Facebook, you know, I'm like, "Hey, this is what I just did, and I'm going to put it on my, you know, personal website, but somebody buys it before I can." So I guess I'll just have a sold gallery on my page.
Right. And I want to thank Tracy. Tracy brought something up. She said, "What's his name to look up in Facebook?" You have always gone by Corvus Nocturnum. That's your pen name.
Right. I have that account, Facebook, but I also have my other one.
Yeah. Facebook made you turn your Corvus Nocturnum, one of your Corvus Nocturnum sites into, or pages into, your legal name, and that's Eric Berner. So I did post
right.
that in the room so people can
right.
find
and it. It does say / Corvus Nocturnum, and then the other one is Corvus Nocturnum author. But if you Google me, both of them come up pretty easy. And I'll add somebody on either one. Yeah. You know, it was about time for me because I'm pushing the 5,000 limit that Facebook allows a page to have on friends. So, you know, at least the author page is unlimited.
Right. There you go. So it's good to have both of them anyways. But
yeah.
So if you go to Corvus Nocturnum and it's full, then type in Eric Berner or contact me and I'll hook you up, or contact Leno and he'll hook you up, or Debbie Markham. We're all
sounds good.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely find you and help other people find you.
Well, I really appreciate it. You guys have always been really great to me, and sir, it's a pleasure to get to know you.
Well, thank you, and we feel the same about you, and that's why we always say, you know, call in, come be on the show. And if we go too long without having you on, we get really missing you and have to hit you up on Facebook and say, come on the show so we can talk. Because
well,
we
yeah,
all
come be a regular.
What was that, John?
Come be a regular.
I'd love
yeah.
to.
Well, I told him before, call in every Friday.
I may have to take you up on that just to pop in and let people know how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can call in, 5 minutes, even if to give your information, update people on how things are going with Erie America, or maybe what new books you have out.
Ooh, or new locations.
Yeah, yes. Call and say, hi, how are you?
We'd definitely like to do that.
Well, that would be great. Wow, this
you know, that brings up
so
something.
Fast. Go ahead.
Well, that's why I want to mention this real quick, Deb. I've been thinking about this, and there's one thing out there that gets my nerves more than anything and terrifies me more than anything on this earth, and I really want to get down there this year, and I want to spend a week in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And I would really like for you and I to plan a trip down there and do a Friday night show from Point Pleasant. And I don't
Ooh.
Know why that came to mind today, but it did, because I am terrified of the Mothman. This thing
Ooh,
will make
really?
Me crap my pants faster than anything else. So I think we need to get down there, and I would love to face that fear.
Hmm. Interesting.
If you do go to the little store, there's a Mothman Museum right next to one of the haunted hotels.
Ooh, see, a haunted hotel, a museum next door. I think we found the hotel we're staying in.
Yeah, that gave me goosebumps. Like, yes, okay. You say haunted.
And then maybe we could talk, yeah, the proprietor of the hotel or the proprietor of the Mothman Museum and being on the show that night and talking about the paranormal and the Mothman and whatever goes on in that sleepy little town. Or not
yeah.
so sleepy.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, you know,
I
we're
fully
we
up
need
for
to.
Funding this trip, so
yeah.
I want to get down
Let's
there.
Let's do it. I guess. Woohoo! Let's do it.
Yeah.
Corvus, do you ever go to the Mothman thing?
I haven't. I know the owner of both of the locations because I got them to sign a letter of agreement that they'll allow me to come film.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Oh.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, contact us before you go.
Yeah, Tim wants to come down because he took a vacation there already and took some pictures.
Ah, that's right. He did. Tim was there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking to Tim Shaw?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the Rev. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, love that guy.
We all love the Rev, don't we?
Yes.
He is awesome. And he's going through a lot right now. He's been sick, and he has surgery coming up, and he could use all the good vibes he can get. So everybody send him some good, positive, healing vibes, please. But yeah, he gets into all that. And he has some new things coming up too. Corvus, I don't know if you...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Everybody's kind of seen that.
I was sworn to secrecy, and then I wasn't able to keep up on what was going on, so I didn't know if it was made public yet or not.
Yeah, he made a page. I'll send you the link. In fact, I think I posted it last night. Yeah, we all need to network. That's how information gets out. So he has his production thing going.
Okay, great.
Again, it seems to be going very well for him. So, yeah, check that out, Corvus, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll do that.
So we need to get Corvus down there and us down there and Tim down there and Elmer, who we'll have to have on the show some night because he's pretty into the Mothman stuff. I think he lives out that way, as a matter of fact. And he has a radio show as well. So, yeah. Let's
It'd be interesting to pick his brain then. I'd love to hear his take on it.
Well, we'll get him on here. Elmer, if you're listening, he told me he was going to listen tonight. Next week you get a call in. We'll get him to call in and talk to us about it.
Yeah,
he can loves
my case about Mothman.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I don't think there's been any sightings in, like, forever. Well, not forever, but quite a long time, has there?
Yeah, I think the most recent one, Tim Shaw had something posted up, and don't quote me, I'm going to spit out two years here. It was either 2010 or 2012, I think, was the most recent.
Ah, okay.
So, I mean, it hasn't been dormant too long, but whatever's going on, that was the latest that I had seen.
Okay. Corvus, have you heard anything different?
Not offhand, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, Gal, we're like at the end of our show. But, man, the hour went fast. I've had a great time. I don't know about you guys, but I just loved hanging out with you.
Oh,
really excited about it.
I've had a great time, like always.
Well, you feel free to call in any Friday night that you'd like. All right.
Oh, thank you. I'll definitely see up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
Awesome. Thank you, Corvus, because we'll be hanging out waiting for you. For
sounds
sure.
Like a plan.
So next week we'll be here for 2 hours, and every Friday after that for 2 hours. Mystical Awakenings will still be on Wednesday nights from 8 to 10 on the same network. And, you know, keep tuning in. We'll be adding lots of exciting things, and you never know what's going to happen with Mystical Awakenings, so you got to stay tuned. And I guess,
absolutely,
John? Man, this was fun, wasn't
I'm still
it?
Here.
Yay.
It was. It was. Despite
and
the
we'll
little
come
phone
back next
snapper,
week.
But
yeah, that's okay. Next week, you know, we'll tell Clarence to be cool.
Yeah,
and
we're going to talk to the kids ahead of time and tell them to behave.
Up, and it sounds like we are, like, out of time. So let's close the show and be back here next week at 9 o'clock. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Yay. Okay, everybody, may love, light, and laughter fill your week. And until we meet again, may all of your awakenings be mystical.
And watching you walk away. and I'm alone.